We're going to begin this morning in the book of the Proverbs and then jumping over to Luke's gospel before finishing up in the book of Isaiah. Actually finishing up with a passage of scripture that is attached to the song that Troy first had us sing in Sunday school preliminaries. I highlighted that in my Bible, my reading this morning, that verse, and then we sang about it. I like it. Proverbs chapter 4. If you would, bow your head with me as we ask for God's divine touch and anointing this morning. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful day you've given us. Thank you for this time that we've had together in worship and praise. Thank you for the songs that we've sung together. Thank you for the special song that has been provided for us as well. The reminder that there's a crown that is waiting for us, that if we're faithful. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you provide us. And now as we open up your word for the preaching, I pray that you would give that anointing that is necessary, that is so vital, so needed. Touch our ears and our hearts. Lord, and through and in my weakness, I pray that your strength would be made real. That you would be seen and felt and heard today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23. It's a familiar verse to most of us, probably, because we've heard it. At least I've heard it all my life. You probably have as well. The King James translation, it sounds like this. It reads like this. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My thought this morning can be summed up in these words: the priority of guarding our heart. You say, preacher, you've preached on this before. Yes, I'm sure that I have. But it's come renewed for me this morning. The Amplified translation, a rendering of that verse, adds quite a bit of a different or added words to it. And it says it this way: keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs of life. Above all that you're guarding, guard your heart with vigilance or diligence. Now, a commentary writer puts it in these words: the way of evil men. Now, this was written before my time. This was written before your time. I don't know that any of us here this morning were around when this was written. This was written back a long time ago, but it's still relevant today. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's still relevant today. And this is what: the way of evil men may seem pleasant, and the nearest way to compass some end. You know, the closest point between A and B may be this direction. To get to where you want to go, you think you want to go. But the writer said, but it is an evil way and it will end ill. It'll end badly. Just because it's the quickest way or the easiest way doesn't make it the best way. He goes on to say, if you love thy God, if thou love thy God and thy soul, avoid it. It is not said, keep at a due distance, but at a great distance. Never think you can get far enough from it. The way of the righteous is light. Are you with me here? Are you staying with me here? I'm trying to be slow because I want it to settle in the reality of what this passage is speaking to us. And this commentary writer goes on to say, attentive hearing of the word of God is a good sign of a work of grace begun in the heart, and a good means of carrying it on. Keep thy heart with all diligence, he said. We must set a strict guard upon our souls, because out of it are the issues of life. Attentive hearing of the word of God. Have you ever listened to somebody talk? And maybe even you responded in some way. You might have even responded with that, with those words, I understand you, or I understand your feeling. And then you walk away and you really did not catch the gist of what was being said. Or maybe you didn't catch any of it. In one ear and out the other. Attentive hearing the word of God is a good sign of a work of grace begun in the heart, and a good means of carrying it on. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Set a strict guard upon your souls. The Amplified said, above all that you guard. Above all that you guard, guard your heart. What is it that you guard this morning? What are you guarding? Maybe you didn't lock your vehicle doors today sitting out here, but most likely if you go to some places, for instance, downtown Indianapolis or downtown Evansville, or maybe anywhere strange, anywhere different from where you are in the local rural area, you probably lock your car, you lock your vehicle. Especially if you leave anything in there of any value at all. You guard it. You protect it. You lock your car, at least in certain places. You probably lock your house. If you don't lock it during the day, you lock it at night. Sometimes we get a little comfortable in our rural setting and we think, well, it's not going to happen here, and it could happen here. And so people lock their houses. Why? Because you want to guard what you have inside of that house. Maybe you don't lock the door, but you essentially lock the door by having a pit bull or a German shepherd that's walking freely outside. And when somebody pulls in, whether they're there to harm you or not, they immediately think that this dog's going to eat them and tear them limb from limb. And some of y'all's dogs would bite. And have bitten. You know, what do you have them for? You have them, it's partially because you're guarding what you have. You're putting up a guard, a dog outside to protect what you have on the inside. Maybe you have a sign up somewhere outside that this property is protected with a piece of steel with a hole in the middle of it. You know, we know what that is, don't we? Maybe I'm not painting a clear enough picture, but it's a gun that is a protector of this property. Some kind of weapons. Some of you have a motion detector on your driveway, or as some kids call it, a bringer, so that when somebody pulls in, it has a bringer going off in the house, huh, Natalie? It's a bringer. Somebody's pulling in, and they run to the window to see who it is. Oh, it's just a deer out there eating the acorns off the driveway. We have those, you have those, for some kind of a protection, a guard. Sometimes people put up cameras so that if there is a problem, they can revert back to the camera and see who was there or what was there and what was going on. You know, there's the way of guarding things, guarding the things that we... What about guarding your health? Diane is jumping up and down. Some of you other nurses are jumping up and down and saying amen. Yes, you know, we've got to eat the right kinds of foods and have to do exercise. And there's even hygiene that comes into our health. And the necessity of all of these things combined to protect or to guard our health. Because our health is relatively fragile. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. Stolen by our own devices. Guard. We put up guards. We guard so much in our lives. The wise writer here in the book of Proverbs is warning people to take notice of the heart, to guard the heart. Even, not just simply guard the heart, but to prioritize this guard above everything else that we guard. Be the number one guard that is prioritized in our lives. We can spend a lot of time and effort guarding so many other things, but the writer is challenging us, is giving us the proverb, the reality of the necessity of guarding our heart above everything else. You would think that the heart, this spiritual entity, is what he's talking about, not that thumper down inside. That's part of the health guards. This spiritual entity that we have of guarding that innermost part, that core, that deep inside of us being, to guard it. What you'd almost think that it was a fragile entity. You would think that it was something that was easily traumatized or easily stolen or injured. I think he's suggesting that. I think he's saying that. It's necessary that we guard this spiritual thing within us. A farmer guards his crop with all kinds of chemicals, pesticides, herbicides. They guard it, they protect it. I've seen in my limited experience with field corn that a corn borer can destroy acres of corn in a short period of time. And sometimes the farmer isn't even aware that it's going on because it can be inside the field and he doesn't even realize what's going on inside that field until it's perhaps too late to do anything about it. You know, it's so important for them to kill those pests that are possibly going to be eating and destroying his harvest that they even go so far as to take the helicopters. I can't imagine. I don't know what it costs to fly a helicopter, but to fly a helicopter back and forth over the field spraying sounds to me like it's probably not a cheap means. I'm just guessing. I like to watch them, though. It's pretty cool that pilot as he flies over and he swings up at the end and turns around and comes back right down beside where he was. And you know, it can't be a cheap means, but it's to protect. They go to expense to protect. You know, weeds can overcome a planted crop so much that it can greatly reduce the harvest. It can change it completely from a tremendous harvest to a very poor harvest. It can take it way down just simply because the weeds have choked it out. The gardener guards his garden, or at least some of them do. You know, pulling the weeds or using some kind of a chemical to eliminate those weeds or the unwanted growth. Not just weeds. Down here in my garden, I get stuff like walnut trees and sycamore trees. I don't want those in my garden. Somehow they get, I don't plant them. Somehow they grow up there. And they'll hurt the crop. Of course, this year you notice that it's a lot of hindrances. Some people in their gardens, they put up fences. Some people put up tall ones to keep the deer out. A lot of people put up short ones to keep the small animals out, electric ones, tight woven ones, all kinds of different fences trying to protect their crop and guard their garden against those things that would come in from the outside to destroy it. Because you know, coons can destroy your corn crop and deer can destroy your bean crop and maybe even add to the corn destruction as well. And it doesn't take them long to eliminate a whole bunch of what you were anticipating using to put up for the winter. I'm spending a lot of time here talking about guarding things. The landscaper will guard his landscape or his yard against moles and against cats and against dogs and you say, well, what's wrong with if you don't know, talk to me later. I can tell you. But we guard things, we protect things, and we shield things that are of interest to us, that are dear to us, that are valuable to us. Things that we want, we guard, and sometimes we go to great expense and energy to guard those things. Jesus speaks about this particular situation. And it's recorded in the first three books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this particular story about guarding. You can find it in Luke that I want to look at. In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, and verse number 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." What was he saying here when in the end, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear"? He was saying, guard the soil of your soul. Pay attention to what I'm saying here, people, because you need to guard the soil of your soul. He is talking about it with such desire within his heart for what the people that are hearing him, that he's crying out to prioritize the soil of our soul and to guard it from those things that will hinder the seed growing within us. Jesus doesn't say it the way the proverb writer said it, but it's what he's saying. Out of it flow the issues of life. From that soil and the seed that is planted in that soil flow the issues of life. Let's look at it just briefly here. The birds that devour the seed. You go on down in that passage and you can read more about this. And he said that it's likened unto the birds that come and take of the seed that has been thrown onto the wayside. The fowls of the air devour it. Now, what's he saying there? The devil removes the seed lest a person believes. Boy, how do we guard against that? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believing him, trusting him. The devil's motive is to get in. The birds are there to take the seed so that it doesn't spring up. Guard your heart. Then we go on and we realize that some of the seed fell in the rocky areas, and we find later on that rocks would have to do with temptations. I heard one man say something to this effect. It's not quoted verbatim, but it's something to this effect. The closer we are to God, the less likely that temptation will have a foothold in our heart. He provides us with strength to overcome if we are holding to God, and if we are close to God. But if we are holding God in the peripheral, in the outside edge, and we're pushing him to the outside of our lives, if he is in the peripheral part of our lives, then temptation gains an advantage. Now, that's not quoted verbatim from what he was saying, but that's my rendition of what he was saying, and I believe that it's true either way. Closer we are to God, the less likely that temptation will have a hold. That's why Jesus said, if a person hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they shall be filled. There's not a single one of us that doesn't have some kind of a contact, some kind of a confrontation with some form of temptation somewhere along in our lives. At some point in our lives, temptation comes. How do you avoid that temptation? By staying close to God. I'm reminded when I think about this and I speak about this, I'm reminded of that Old Testament man that we know of, an entire book was written about his circumstances and a small window of his life. The opening remarks, the introduction to this man are limited. We don't know really anything about him. We know kind of where he lived. We know that he had a family. We know that he was wealthy. And we learn pretty quickly that God had a hedge about him. But also within those statements there in the introduction to his life, it gives to us the understanding that Job also had a hedge about him. It wasn't just God's hedge about him, but Job had built a hedge about him. He had guarded his heart. You say, well, how did Job guard himself? He loved God and he hated evil. That means that he was living after God and he was following after God. He was not looking at the edges, trying to get as close to sin as he could, but he was staying far away from it. Just like that commentary writer that I was referring to earlier, saying that we put distance between ourselves and sin. Then we find in this passage Jesus' story about the seed, that some of it falls into thorns. And we can learn later on there that he's referring to the cares of life and the anxieties of life, the desires for riches or for pleasures, or allowing the world to form us or to squeeze us into its molds and into its patterns. The thorns have a tendency to choke out the word of God within. Take that seed that has sprung up within and squeeze the life out of it. In other words, they start out well. But they get their eyes off of Christ. They get their eyes onto something else. Maybe it's a personal desire. Maybe it's a pleasure of some sort or something about the things of this world. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The soil of the heart, guard it, protect it, shield it. There's all kinds of things that we can look at to point to that would hinder us in our relationship with Christ, or hinder us in the growing part of our lives, or hinder us in keeping our heart with due diligence. We can call them weeds, we can call them birds, we can call them rocks, and we can think about them in terms of unbelief and bitterness and unforgiving and seeds of worldly desires and fleshly desires and personal interests that supersede God's interests for us or God's desires for us. Sometimes we can even get caught up in the grass is greener syndrome. There's many facets of life that we can look at about the grass being greener on the other side. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard. Prioritize the guarding of the heart. Then we come down to the conclusion. And I believe that the Old Testament prophet Isaiah summarizes it very well when he penned those words that are recorded for us in the 26th chapter in the 3rd verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Prioritize the guarding of the heart. He will keep us in perfect peace. The Amplified, again, referring to that translation, said, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. Did you pick up on the key to the spiritual success that Scripture is giving us here of our endeavor to serve the Lord and to be faithful to Him? The key is to draw up close to God. It's not in what I am. Maybe I shouldn't spend so much time reiterating this, but it's not so much in me, but it's in Him, and me coming up as close to Him as I possibly can, hungering and thirsting for Him. He will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. There's guardrails in life. Some guardrails we may like, some guardrails we don't like. But when God puts up a guardrail, we better obey it. And sometimes God wants us to put up a guardrail. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God's telling us to protect ourselves. He's telling us that we have the option, we have the ability to say no to some things. We don't have to go down that road. You're scrolling through Facebook. You can avoid those things that hinder your spiritual relationships, that feed your mind on things that are less than holy. Maybe it's not Facebook, but some other form of social media or some other form of an entertainment. And you find yourself repeatedly going back to the same source of distraction, spiritual decline. But he's telling us very clearly that there's sometimes that we must put up our own guards and protect ourselves. And by his grace, we sang about it this morning so many times. Prioritize the guarding of my heart. And in doing so, he will keep me in perfect peace as my mind is stayed on him. Let's stand together this morning. I trust that the Holy Spirit re-speaks the truth of this message to us repeatedly in our lives. I believe him to be faithful, and let's be faithful to him as well as we walk with him, drawing up close, hunger and thirst after righteousness. Holiness, and we can and will be filled. Praise God. Is every heart clear this morning? Amen. Trust you have a good day today. Look forward to being together again tonight. Lord bless you. Jaron, would you dismiss us in prayer?